Welcome to Eltel and John's La Liga Weekly, with occasional bonus midweek Champions League previews thrown in. A snappy title, I think you'll agree. We are here because what's arguably the world's strongest football competition returns with what is undoubtedly the world's worst thought-out round. Yes, from February the 12th to March the 13th, basically the duration of the entire World Cup, four teams will be knocked out. And let's face it, one of them will be Schalke. Tuesday sees Manchester United put Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's unbeaten record on the line against a team that's actually quite good, while Roma take on Porto, in the Champions League. On Wednesday, it's Spurs Dortmund, but our main focus will be on Real Madrid, 13 times European champions, against Ajax, who've won the competitions four times in their history, but they won't make it five this year because they're rubbish. They stink the place out. They're a team of kids and they play like it. This weekend, losing to fellow fictional Greek hero Heracles. If it's not 7-0 over the two legs, Madrid should be gutted. Terry Gibson is here to provide some more measured analysis. We will have a look at the Europa League as well, four Spanish teams in action. But Terry, right, recent results for Ajax. Beaten by Heracles, 1-0. A 6-0 win over VVV. 6-2 hammering against Feyenoord. A 4-4 draw against Heerenveen. Honestly, I've been watching them recently. They look like a pack of kids. I know they're a young team, but it's shambolic. If Real Madrid at their best should beat these easily.
Yeah, I think when the draw was made, because of the form Real Madrid were in, and Ajax, we shouldn't forget they've had a good group stage, a couple of draws against Bayern Munich, which surprised everybody. I think everybody is right to assume they are developing. It's going to be, you said they're a bunch of kids, there's six, 22 and under, that probably will start against Real Madrid. You have got the added experience this year, players they've brought into the club. It's been unlike Ajax. It's something they've need to have done for a while now, but they've actually spent some money on older players, you know, mature players to bring in. So the likes of Daley Blind, Tadic as well from Southampton, having a fantastic season at Ajax, really found his feet. Lasse Schoen, experienced midfield player, and Jan Huntelaar are up front. So the experience is there, added to the player that Frankie de Jong that Barcelona have already bought. De Ligt, who's being hotly chased by all the clubs around Europe, he's only 19. De Jong is 21. Donny van der Bleek, midfield player, is 21 years old. Rasmus Nielsen, 21-year-old Danish fullback. Kasper Dolberg, who I'm not sure is going to play, whether it's going to be him or Huntelaar up front. And the goalkeeper, Andre Onana, the Ghanaian, is 22 years of age. So it does kind of have a familiar feel with Ajax. I mean, a couple of seasons ago when they got to the final of the Europa League, they were too young. I don't know how they got to the final and they got beat by Manchester United. That was like watching a youth team play against Manchester United in the final. But they've all been knocking around now for a bit longer. It's because of the form that Real Madrid are showing now, clearly because of their history in this competition. It's the one competition they come alive for, seven games to win it. I would assume most people will still have Real Madrid as quite big favourites in this game. Perhaps not as big as favourites as you're making them, but it'd be an incredible surprise if Ajax were to knock them out.
Onana went early with his howlers. He against Heracles this weekend, he literally rolled the ball out to kick the ball out to an attacker who scored. In reminiscent of how Real Madrid got through a couple of rounds of the Champions League last season with absolute howlers from goalkeepers. They run a bit like Manchester United. They've come into form at the right time. They keep on doing it again. Can they do it again, Real Madrid?
Just the law of averages suggests that no team has retained it. They've now won it four in the last five, won the last three. You just feel that eventually luck is going to go against them. The sheer, you know, law of averages that you're not going to win it four consecutive seasons. But as I said, it is seven games, you know, to win the competition from now on in. And nobody's got the experience they've got. Of course, there's the Ronaldo impact. He's now playing for Juventus in the same competition, so Real Madrid don't have him. But they still have a collection of world-class stars that, if they're all playing well, which they are doing at the moment, they will still be incredibly hard to knock out. They fight tooth and nail for this competition. And, you know, I just don't see Ajax being the team that's going to knock them out at this stage.
I've got a couple of Real Madrid questions that we were sent in for the weekend podcast that have held over for this. So Vini 11 official, who's that? Vinicius, has been, that's what we call him, has been, the lads all call him that when we're out, has been such a boost to Madrid despite only scoring twice because he provides the pace up front that forms part of the structure that for so long Madrid has become used to. Do you agree? He also, Kwame says, it's time for Marcelo and Bale to go. I want them out.
Marcelo and Bale. Marcelo, I have no doubt that he will be playing for Juventus next season.
Right, okay.
I think that's been lingering since the summer, since Ronaldo went. I think Ronaldo made a play, didn't he, to bring Marcelo with him, who he got on well with at Real Madrid. And I think Marcelo's form reflects the way he's feeling about life at Real Madrid at the moment. Saw Teo Hernandez as well at the weekend playing for Real Sociedad, who was on loan from Real Madrid, had a really good game. Kind of looked the player that we saw that was on loan at Alaves. And the reason why Real Madrid paid 20-odd million for him, we kind of forgot about him as well. So between Reguilon and Teo Hernandez, they may just well have that covered. But Vinicius is, at times, is sensational to watch. I think I mentioned on the podcast, a weekly La Liga one, that I think we have to be careful not to go overboard. I think for every good thing he does, there's a mistake there as well. Modric at the weekend really got stuck into him for his part, Vinicius, in giving the ball away under pressure from Angel Correa and Atletico Madrid scoring. But they're things that he's going to have to learn. You expect top-class players to learn quickly. He's only 18 years of age, and I get why everyone's excited to see what he can do. He's playing with no fear, and at the moment is, you know, quite rightly actually, keeping Gareth Bale out of that team in terms of the position on that side of the pitch. Vasquez plays on the other side. I think Bale would clearly give more in an attacking sense to Real Madrid than Lucas Vasquez. Lucas Vasquez, we know, is one of the harder working players in the hardest working players in the Real Madrid team. So, hence, that's why Solari is picking him, as other managers have done in the past. So, Marcelo is quite rightly, I think, having to keep the bench warm at the moment.
A quick one from Joe. How big an influence is it that Gareth Bale hasn't been able to speak Spanish on his reputation?
Well, it's astonishing. I don't know for sure what degree he speaks Spanish, if any. There are reports that he's a little bit of a loner as well. I think it's important when you embrace going into a new country. We've seen loads of examples in the Premier League of players that have come here and not done the same. But thankfully, in the Premier League, we've seen more players that do. Mm. And the ones that tend to stick around for a while are successful, and they do embrace, you know, the country, the football that you're playing in, the culture, the style of play. And also, I see players now speaking more than two languages.
Oh yeah, incredible!
And they pick it up pretty quick as well. So it's a pleasant surprise now and then when you see a player who's only been in La Liga for 5 minutes and comes on television, does an interview in Spanish, and it may not be perfect, but he's giving it a right good go. I can't recollect seeing an interview from Gareth Bale in Spanish. So been there too long now for that not to be speaking.
Do you ever watch
fluent
the
Spanish
German World Program? The players.
No, funny enough. football programme.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I think you just meant German in general.
Yeah, no, it's football, Terry.
That's not my planner.
I'm not suggesting you watch non-football. You can. They do interviews with guys who haven't played in England, but they do their interviews in English after the game. That's, you know, anyway. So there we are. Yes, you should learn your languages.
6 years now he's been there.
Yeah, that's a long. Yeah. 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 I'm no one to talk, but. Come on, 6 years you've lived there. Right. The nature of this round is ridiculous, isn't it? Because it goes on. It just makes no sense to drag it out this long. Because what happens, you know...
You forget the scores from the first leg.
Or do you remember
have to check up again.
Bayern put five past Arsenal and they had to wait three or four weeks.
Months.
For this sort of pointless second leg to come around. So anyway, so it means that Atleti and Barca don't start yet. But... of the three Spanish teams, how many are going through? Two of the three?
Barca, Real Madrid.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward. I don't know why. I must be sort of masochistic to think, to look forward to Atletico Madrid going two games of 0-0 and going to Atletico Madrid, Juventus going into penalties. I think that's too simplistic to say there's going to be two 0-0 draws, but it's going to be quite tight, that game. And Juventus, I think a lot of people fancy... them to go a step further this season and win the trophy because of the of Ronaldo being at the club now. But I think Atletico are going to be really tough opponents. And if they're just trailing off the league now, out of Copa del Rey, the Champions League might be the... And also the added incentive, the final is in their stadium.
Mm.
Yes. So it's going to be incredibly motivated Atletico Madrid in that game. So I wouldn't be surprised to see all three go through. I think it'd be a big surprise to a lot of people if Atletico beat Juventus, but not to me, really.
So they're a week away, those games, but we do have a round of Europa League, which starts Thursday. Now then, Lazio against Sevilla. It's a hard one to call, isn't it?
No, I think that despite the fact we get bogged down in the UK about... It almost becomes a burden, doesn't it, playing in the Europa League? Playing on Thursday night and you're playing... It shouldn't be like that. And Sevilla, with their recent history in this... Well, the last decade. It's not recent history. It's just over a decade now. Where it won...
No, 06 they won the UEFA Cup.
So is it five?
Yeah.
Europa Leagues, since UEFA then. Cups? Mm. And they worked so hard to get in it last season when it didn't look like they were going to get seventh place. Then they had to play six qualifiers. They've played six group stage games. They're not going to go against Lazio and think, oh, no, we've got another game of football. It's unfortunate for them at the moment. They are missing some injured players. One or two are getting back to fitness. The squad is quite big and strong enough, but the injuries have hampered them a touch. So I think that Sevilla will be OK in this one, despite the fact it's another game of football. I think they'll be up for it. The supporters at the Sanchez Pizjuan love a European night. So I would take Sevilla to go through on this one.
Rennes-Betis. It's almost the nature of the Europa League is that the teams are inconsistent. Because if they were consistent, they'd be in the Champions League. There's lots of talented teams who are very hard to predict, I think.
Yeah, and I think Betis are embracing the European event adventure. It's not something they've been used to playing in, season out. It was a pleasure for them last season to see them play so well, finishing the European spot, which was there's a lot of importance placed on that as well in La Liga. So again, I must confess, I'm not an expert on Rennes, but I would imagine that Betis again will be looking to progress in this competition. So without knowing too much about Rennes, I'm going to back Betis.
Okay, Celtic Valencia.
That's a tough one because Valencia we still associate with being high-flying and scoring goals, but what they've turned into is a team that's really hard to beat, really hard to score against, and don't particularly excite in terms of attacking play at the moment this season. So there'll be two tight games. I'm sounding incredibly biased, but again, I'm going to back the Liga team.
They've played a lot of football as well, Valencia, recently, haven't they? They're still involved in the Copa del Rey, obviously, as well.
Yep. Likewise with Betis, but then that also tells you that cup football is perhaps what they're good at this season. So again, I think that, as I said, two tight games, but I'm going to go for Valencia. The last one is a bit easier to call, I think.
Sporting against Villarreal.
Yeah, because Villarreal have just been so poor this season. Out of the four teams still left in La Liga, you look at Villarreal and you just think the last thing they need is to continue on this progress in Europe. So Javier Calleja, who's already been sacked once and brought back again this season, I think his priority this season is to try and keep Villarreal in the division because, believe it or not, they're in trouble. They're in danger, real danger of getting relegated. And that will be a huge blow to that football club.
But again, like Sevilla, but not to the same extent, they've had a great relationship with the Europa League. I believe they've played more Europa League ties than any other
But never
club.
Got anywhere near... They've never won a trophy.
No.
And they always disappoint me in Europe as well because, I mean, we have to go a long way back to when Pellegrini was in charge and they were threatening to get into the semi-final of the Champions League, wasn't it? Against Arsenal.
Yeah.
And it's... They always are a team I think should do well in the Copa del Rey. They're always a team that I think should do better in Europe, and they continue to disappoint. They've underachieved when they've been involved in European football. And by the way that they're playing this season, how the priorities lie, I would imagine that Sporting Lisbon will be interesting to see the team that Javier Calleja picks. He might pick a second string team, which actually wins a game of football, and then might be the team that he has to pick start playing in La Liga.
Where have they gone so badly wrong? I mean, obviously the coach, neither coach, has helped much, but still got good players, haven't they? They've still got
a tremendous squad. When you look at them at the start of the season, you think, yes, top six. Definitely top six. Outside chance of that fourth spot that's always up for grabs in La Liga. But to see them with only three wins all season, one home win. They made real hard work of getting through the group stage as well. Just about qualified for the knockout stages. It is really hard to put your finger at them. They brought in Vicente Ibora in the transfer window. None of the other teams at the bottom of La Liga have got the money to go and spend on a really good central midfield player that should improve them. That hasn't worked. They've got three or four really good centre forwards that should be scoring goals. It says it all when Santi Cazorla is still their best player. And it's not being patronising to him. He's the one player this season that gives Villarreal any hope. Samuel Chukwueze is a youngster that's been introduced into the team, that's had some really bright moments. But apart from that, maybe, you know, you look at, I could start rolling off the names. Pablo Fornals, Carlos Bacca, Gerard Moreno, Toko Ekambi. It's, you look at the back players, Bonera's an Italian international. I know he's past his prime. Victor Ruiz, it's Alvaro Gonzalez at the back, Jaume Costa, Mario Gaspar. It's a really talented group of players, but their priorities now, while they would love to have given it a real good go in Europe, you feel now their priorities have to be with the following game in the weekend in La Liga.
Sporting, not a bad team. Strangely, Terry, I've commentated on Sporting quite a lot this season.
And you'd let me do all that answering.
Yes, yeah.
Well, now over to you, John.
They a couple of our old
friends. You're
going to
say, I'm glad you said they're good.
Yeah, they're all right.
Glad you didn't let me say all that about Villarreal going to get knocked out, and then next thing you turn and say, I've done Sporting, they're useless.
They had a bit of a look. They were in Arsenal's group, weren't they? And they were a little lucky because Vorskla and Karabakh weren't very good and they came through. But that's the Europa League, I think, isn't it? They're reforming it, aren't they, and bringing in a Europa League 2, which just looks like it's going to complicate it even more. And it doesn't need that, the Europa League, does it?
No.
The best idea for the Europa League I've seen written down was Gabriel Marcotti saying that they should regionalise it a bit, which I know you might end up with a weaker Far East team compared to, you know, if say you've got a Portugal, Spain, Italy bit, that's a bit stronger, but I don't mind that. I'd live with that to get rid of these.
It's an idea. Well, they're a knockout still.
Yeah, yes.
And then have a different competition for the cup winners from each country.
Yes. But yes, I'm afraid. It's weird though, isn't it? Because the clubs want to play lots of games and then they moan about playing so many games.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I don't. If you're UEFA, I don't know what you're supposed to do. They must be thinking, well, which way do you want it? Are you moaning about fixture congestion or are you moaning about revenue? Because if you can't have one without the other.
I think, mate, from what I understand, I've gathered over the seasons with the Europa League, it's mainly like that in England.
Yeah.
I still think the majority of the other countries embrace the competition as for what it is. We do tend to end up with a glamour final as well. And it has the added interest, doesn't it, of teams being knocked out of the Champions League, dropping into the Europa League, so that the competition does get stronger as it goes on. But I think in general, the European countries hold it in with a bit more regard than what we do in England.
Yeah. So a couple of our old La Liga friends in the Sporting team, Mathieu plays for them. I don't know if they're fit. They've both been in and out. And Nani as well, obviously, who was at Valencia recently, and obviously Manchester United as well. One player, Terry, I want you to do a bit of homework on, if you're going to watch that Ajax-Real Madrid game, Frankie de Jong. De Jong, I think they call him, in the Dutch commentary, of which I've watched a fair bit in the last week. Big question. Give us a more detailed answer when we discuss it.
Looking forward to.
75 million euros. Compare and contrast to, for example, Ivan Rakitic. So if Barcelona are going to move on Rakitic, as a lot of the rumours have
and
it.
From outside you look, that's possibly, I don't see Vidal being there. I think Vidal's going to be one of these players that does a job for a year for Barcelona.
Yeah.
But Rakitic is the one. If you're spending that money on a young player, then Rakitic might be the one that's... He's not going to sit around on the bench, is he? Rakitic, there's another big transfer in there.
Yeah.
He's still good enough to go and play for another big, massive European club. So that's going to be interesting. So we'll do that. We'll compare.
Right. So let's have a prediction before you go. Ajax, Real Madrid.
I'm going to go for a overall or first leg?
Whatever you like.
I'm going to go for Real Madrid to win over two legs, but yeah. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw for Ajax in the first leg. I think they're stronger at home, clearly, than they are away from home. I'm going to give them the respect of giving Real Madrid a real tough game in the first leg, but Real Madrid to romp it at the Bernabeu.
OK, I'm going to say Ajax 0, Real Madrid 3 in the first game. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is with my anti-Ajax. I don't mind. I like the concept of Ajax. So, you know, I wish them well because it's a great European name, and I love the fact that they've always striven to play the right kind of football, and they've brought youth players through. Lots of things to admire. I just think that they, having watched them a bit recently, I just think they're a shambles.
Has the younger players been affected? We're talking about De Jong already having signed for Barcelona. We're talking about De Ligt possibly going to be signed by, well, definitely going to be signed by one of the massive European clubs for massive money. You're talking about De Ligt, who's 19, De Jong is 21. I wonder how it's impacted on their current season with Ajax. One player definitely leaving, and one player almost going to be leaving Ajax as well. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle the importance of playing against the current European champions.
So enjoy the games. So that's all coming up this midweek, those European matches. And then we're back into La Liga again Friday night. Eibar against Getafe. Full round of games throughout the course of the weekend. And then Terry will be back. We'll be recording. We do it overnight, Sunday into Monday. So next Monday morning, European time, you'll have another podcast. We'll see you for that. Bye-bye.